And you gonna murder this one and murder that one. Talking all that bullshit. I'ma put it to you like this, yo.
This is for the nerds. This is for the brainiacs. This is what we deserve. Go ahead and play it back. You ain't gonna touch me. You not gonna do nothing. You are not above me. I bet you wish you was me. I know that I know.
What is poppin', everybody? And welcome back to another special episode of the Only Friends Podcast. Well, you know, it's me and my only friends, which includes, but is not limited to, my sidekick who's getting bashed in the face, Matthew Berkey. Hey, Burke.
What's up, brother?
What is
special
the significance
teams,
of,
special players, special plays.
Tuesday. The fuck is going on?
I don't know. I'm so confused right now.
What's up, brother?
I think Berkey needs to be...
I think he's got, like, hit in the head with something.
Yeah, I think he has PTSD.
I'm so sad Landon's not here for this, but... You know.
That worse than this?
Yes, you schmuck. No. So
yes, it is worse. You're right.
Fix your camera.
My camera?
Yeah, it's pointed down at your dick.
Just give whatever. The people what they want, man. Give the people what
God,
they
that
want.
That is a full-on dick shot. That's Jesus so, Christ.
What are we talking about today, Pirates?
Put it away, man. Put it away. That was a full... That is just unnecessary crime. Oh, Pip. You're pulling my...
Oh, boy.
Pulling my cord. She's choking herself.
She's trying to off herself.
She's asphyxiating over here.
Jeez. What's... Yeah,
the people. There you are. Say hi.
Yeah.
Oh,
good.
Little Pip Cam. All right. Yeah. It's. I was saving that one for Landon. I know he would have gotten it because he's Zoomer.
But
he left us. He's gone for the next month and a half, I think. And I'm sure there's a lot of boomers in the chat that somehow think that's some sort of weird conspiracy theory that I am a part of the Illuminati.
Uh huh.
Shout out to Nikki. But it is, there's a streamer, his name just eluded me, actually. It was literally on the tip of my tongue. But he does this, so he basically plays Madden or whatever. He streams Madden, mostly. He streams other games, too. And he does, like, play calls while he's streaming, obviously. And one of them is, like, he'll just constantly say, like, "What's up, brother?" His name's Sketch. It became like a TikTok trend, and then like when he's coming up to the line, he'll start calling his own audibles. He'll go, "Special teams, special players, special plays. Tuesday, big thing,
yeah,
big TikTok move. You gotta get in there, man.
I don't get it.
This actually sounds pretty genius.
Yeah, you gotta.
I'm not
keep
giving
the
Chinese
streets.
My info, my data.
Oh, I'm not on TikTok either. You wait till it comes out on Reels.
Yeah, like an adult
or YouTube Shorts. Yeah, but it's out there. You know, it's all out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sketch is a goat. He's the new ninja, I guess.
Interesting.
Good for him.
What did everybody do this weekend?
No, I don't want to talk about it.
What do you mean, Burke? We'll talk about yours later. We got a whole section for you, buddy.
I did a very adult. I'm in my 40s thing. Cleaned up the backyard. Cleaned up the backyard. Did a little spring cleaning. Hmm. Went to Costco. You know, got some few things for the outdoors. Planted a little herb garden.
Were you for hire?
Maybe. Depends on how much you pay.
A fair
as
rate.
As well as you pay for sulfur. Why?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
then I'm out.
No, not for this.
He said one. What do you call it? Oh, a bushel? No. What would you call lettuce?
One head of lettuce.
One head of lettuce.
What do you call lettuce? I can't believe we've let you on the mic for 496 episodes.
Oh, shut up already. Whopper, did you do anything this weekend?
I almost made some money.
Almost.
Went 4-for-6, loaded up on Mr. Oliveira, lost a split decision, which... I still think at 2-1 is a great bet.
I mean,
that was the one you.
That
you
was the one. Yeah, that was the one.
185 maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I was there.
Yeah.
It was insane. And while we're on the topic,
you went to the UFC.
Yeah.
You were sleeping at the UFC?
I took a nap in between fights.
Yeah. I thought you were like at someone's house watching the pay-per-view.
No. You got to get some rest in between fights and stuff. There's some girl fights you get a good nap for. Like, you know, not everything's that exciting.
Here's the thing about just falling asleep at sporting events. We saw him at the Pirate game, a very riveting game, like one of the best games of all time, and you're sleeping.
How does he...
You got to sleep early in these things. They're like 7-hour fucking events.
Yeah.
There is no staying awake for 7 hours sitting in a seat watching people fight. It's just not happening.
But you don't sit in your seat for 7 hours straight, right? Isn't there in between stuff to do, you know?
No.
It's like, just one right
after another. You don't walk around.
No, I mean, yeah, sure, you can walk around, but like it's one right after another for the most part.
7 hours?
Yeah. I mean, we didn't... Actually, it might have been longer than that. We got there at like 1:30.
3 p.m. was the first fight. Pretty sure.
Okay, yeah. Oh, sorry, yeah. So we probably left at the house at like 1:45, 2 o'clock, 3 p.m. first fight, and then like... I think the last fight was like 9, 10 o'clock.
I think
o'clock.
It ended at 9 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah, it was something crazy. This is like, damn, this is a long...
I heard the undercard was sick.
Yo, it was absurd. The fights were great.
The fights were just so good.
All the fights were absurd.
See, Dana White knows how to throw an anniversary event. 300th episode, 300th event, he's going to go all fucking out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we got for the 500th.
We'll be here. We know that. We can guarantee
that we'll be here for the 500th. Mm-hmm. That is the extent of it.
At the moment, we're not cooking.
We are not cooking.
Let me tell you who is.
Oh.
Ready or not, here I come. Jumped out with my soul leaking, going hard till I'm so eating. No chatting and no speaking, no dapping with slow breathing. Damn, homie, you the man, homie. They can't do it, but you can, homie. They can't do it, but you...
What is popping, everybody? We're on another edition of Who's Cooking, and we got some people that cooked this weekend. Number one, Max Holloway. What the fuck was this guy doing?
Points at the ground, and they just decide to wing it. And then Max catches him right.
Keep in mind, this guy is winning the fight. Basically pitching a shutout.
Just slapped him. My goodness. Clean as can be.
Oh, God.
And the accumulation of damage was too much for Gaethje to take. Holy smoke.
So basically...
All right, so let me give a little context behind this.
He was not...
All right, let me give you a little context behind this. It's 4-1 Holloway. He's winning. There's 12 seconds left in the fight or something like that.
He literally just has to stand there.
Gaethje throws some wild-ass kick that misses, and Holloway gets, a little upset, and he said, fuck it. You want to fight? To the middle of the ring with 10 seconds left, he had a winner. And he just lays his ass out as they throw bows. Oh, one of the most absurd things in any sporting event I ever seen in my life.
I like how the commentary duo starts talking about it like it's an RPG game. Just way, way too much damage to the body for Fighter B. He had to go down. You know, his hit points just exhausted to zero.
I don't think it was the shots to the body that put him down.
No. It was right to the fucking chin.
These are reactions from professional fighters.
Isn't that the source?
Nah, he was back a little bit. Oh, yeah, he's back a little bit more. He's like three rows behind them, probably.
I don't know, man. I saw Greybeard right between all these guys. Yeah, just like that motherfucker.
Actually, I think he's actually right there. He's like four rows behind them, I think.
Well, you might have rushed the stage for this one. Look, I'm telling you, right there, that's him.
No, that wasn't him.
Come on, that's him.
That was not him.
flat brim, gray goatee. What are we talking about here?
That's not him, but he was right there. He was right there. And
I want to say, did you guys see the one where the guy got kicked in the nuts and the ref went over to warn the other fighter and he just goes, no.
I got this. And he knocks him out.
I just knocked him the fuck out.
Alex Fajardo, yeah.
It was pretty wild. I've never seen like a crowd just get so just absolutely electrified.
Bro, that's
in some moments. It was absurd. Just an absurd feeling.
Corey agrees with me. That's fucking him, man. I'm telling you.
Well, talking about the Corgasm. He did some knockouts as well this weekend. My man got his number ninth ring, winning the 320 circuit event this weekend for $38,000.
This motherfucker's going to run out of fingers.
Do we know who has the most rings? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Maurice Hawkins has 15.
Ari has like 18.
Ari overtook him?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But that's not all Corey did. That wasn't enough. He got second in the 1K for another 15.
My nice. God.
So my man cooked on WSOP yesterday, Ooh. Taking about 50K out the prize pool. Love you know? To see it. Hey, Love man. To see it. Next, I got one for you guys.
Thank you.
We got one for you guys.
Yeah,
Cutch.
My man.
High fly ball to left. Going back is Marsh to the wall. And there it is. Andrew McCutchen, number 300 here in Philadelphia. His first of the season and a milestone moment for a Pirate great, Andrew McCutchen. Gives the Pirates a 9-2 lead in the ninth. His 300th career home run.
Oh, it's been a long time coming.
Cut to absolute class act.
Yeah.
Fucking legend of the game. Unfortunately, he's been a Pirate for so long, but, you know, he's absolute legend.
Dude, he's the man. I'm glad he finally got his 300th. He hit this 299th back in August.
Oh, sick.
Then he got hurt, and then, you know, it's been a couple weeks into the season, but we got there. What was it? Crazy. In a sea of, you know, red, white, and blue Philly fans, a Pirates fan somehow catches the ball, the home run, the 300th home run ball. He was there with his son, so him and his son got to go back to the locker room and meet Cutch. They gave him the ball. Cutch signed a bat for him.
Dope.
I will say I was a little surprised. I guess I didn't know how old Cutch was
mm-hmm.
when I looked. I was surprised it took him this long. This is his 16th season, I think. I know he's had some injuries.
What, 08? So, yeah.
Yeah, I know he's had some injuries, but...
How old is he?
37.
Okay.
300's great, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to downplay this, but for a guy who won the MVP, like, you would expect the power numbers to be a little bit higher.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's averaging 20 a year. 20-ish. Yeah, 20-ish a year. I mean, and, you know, that tells off towards the end of your
I feel
career.
Like shelf life.
I mean, it's less than 20, but yeah.
Shelf life in baseball is certainly a lot longer than football.
I mean, I don't.
Well, he basically had 315 years, so.
I don't think Jeter seasons. Ever hit over 25 and he was MVP. How many times?
I would. Well, he's not a power hitter.
No, but McCutchen's a power hitter?
Yeah, he hit in the three. I mean, he's hitting in the four hole right now. He hit in the three slot for pretty much his entire
know.
Career.
Well, that's it's because he was a Pirate.
Yeah, he hit.
Like, that's absurd.
He hit for average a lot.
Didn't he lead off somewhere? He led off somewhere outside of.
He led off in Pittsburgh for a small amount of time. He did not lead off at San Fran for sure. I'm very confident in that. And I definitely don't think he led off for the Yankees.
No, he didn't lead for us.
Probably not the Phillies either. He's always just been a 2-3-4 guy.
Yeah.
He's a five tool player. He's the kind of guy. Like, you know, whatever. I'm not trying to downplay it, but he's the kind of guy who this is a longevity type of
right.
Score. Not like there was a chunk of his career where he was going to be a 25 plus home run guy, maybe mm-hmm. a 30 plus home run guy.
Yeah, he hit 30 a couple times.
Right. But you know, the tail end of his career, he's like a 15 to 18 kind
right.
of guy.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
Big difference, big drop off in power.
Well, you guys didn't think I was going to give you one and not take one, right?
Well,
because my boy Nestor Cortez came out with some shit yesterday.
He's shimmying a shake.
Toronto. A little hesitation from Nestor.
What are we doing here? The game is broken.
Okay, I just want you guys all to go.
Oh, nasty Nestor, man.
What you have to say, Grandpa, fucking yelling at the clouds? Go on.
This is an illegal pitch.
No, it is not.
Yes, by definition, this is a fucking illegal pitch.
No, it is not. Because the illegal pitch says as long as your foot is on the rubber, you can do these things.
That's not true.
You just sent me the definition, and I just read it.
Go ahead and reread it. Read it out loud, actually, for all of us to hear.
Where Guava, is it again?
You can pull it up if you want. It's in the assets.
Let's find
it. Where is it again?
I sent you the definition of a balk, which people will confuse us for. It's not a balk because there are no runners on base. And I also sent the definition of an illegal pitch. The reason I sent those is because everybody's going to clamor that they think they know what these things are. It's very well written out. I can't believe this wasn't policed in game. It's insane to me. But you cannot deceive the hitter. A balk is...
If your foot is off the rubber, correct?
Bro, how could you deceive the hitter if your foot's off the rubber? You're not pitching...
I mean, if your foot is on the rubber, you can do what you want. If your foot is off the rubber, you cannot deceive the batter.
If your foot is off the rubber, you cannot pitch.
Your foot is off the rubber.
Like, what are you talking about?
Definition for an illegal pitch. It is illegal for the pitcher to deceive, rush, or surprise the batter by imitating a pitch.
Oh, what was that?
While not in contact with the rubber.
That's true.
Okay, fine.
Oh, that doesn't work? That's not part of your definition?
The not in contact thing is separate in and of itself. You cannot pitch the ball not in contact with the rubber.
Well, then
why would they add that to the definition?
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know. That should be like a semicolon. You're not, because like there were pitchers in the past that would try to gain an edge by pitching like 8 inches in front of the rubber.
Mm-hmm.
I think Denny Nagel for some reason jumps out at me as having done this. But whenever you would drop into your windup, you would push your momentum forward.
Of course, yeah.
And then steal like an extra 6 to 8 inches.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you can't. You obviously right. can't do
so
that.
So you can't do that. That's an illegal pitch. Mm-hmm. The deception of a hitter, though, everything that I've ever been taught as a little kid, being in contact with the rubber does not allow you to deceive the hitter through these types of mechanics.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe this is a loose interpretation of the rule.
I got to tell you.
Seems insane to me.
Whether it's illegal or it's not illegal, it should be illegal.
Right.
You should not be able to,
even as funny as it is, and watch him do all this crazy, weird shit on the mound. Because he's known for this, right?
He does all his leg,
and he does all kinds of like
all that's
weird
fine.
Stuff. This was like taking it a step too far. And I mean, yeah, you can't be like fake throwing the ball.
Doesn't get, I think he actually loses. He doesn't get an advantage from this. I actually think it's a disadvantage for him in like just because of the power of the pitch. Like if
he'll never throw a fastball when he does this.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
He threw a slider. Right. It was the slider up in the zone. And like, yeah, sure, he threw 78.
The placement's not going to be great also.
Right. All of that's true. But you guys don't understand what it's like to step in the fucking box. Like, it's really hard. The amount of time that your eye has to pick up the ball. Like, this level of deception is very fucking challenging, especially now that you know you're getting a pitch that spins. Like, even if he's tipping his pitch and you know you're getting something off speed... Sure, that allows you to stay back a little bit longer, but you don't know where the fucking ball's coming from. That's why some of the best pitchers in history, Tim Lincecum comes to mind, the freak. He hid the ball so well, and you got so little time to pick it up, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, he threw hard, but his 96 looked 101 to most hitters.
Right.
Because they're not picking it up until he's well into his stride.
Yeah.
This is all fine, but like, I would be shocked if this doesn't become illegal in the future. Right, because the technicality he was operating on was that his front leg hadn't touched the ground yet. So I guess not written in this rule as we see it defined. Once you put your foot down, you have to follow through with your motion.
I would assume that was
like if you watch the clip again, he like plays with his foot coming back and forth a bunch, but never actually puts it on the ground until he's about ready to throw. I would be astonished if they don't change. Or make the rule more clear to define that. Because this is clearly deceiving the
hitter. He got away with it. That's why he's cooking.
And that is why he's cooking.
My man and is cooking.
The Yankees and the Pirates are both cooking.
Man, nothing would have been better if that ball would have just got deposited in the fucking upper deck.
I mean,
what's the Yankees record?
12-4.
Pirates are 11-5. We'll see what happens. And I saw a stat. I don't have it. I wish I had an asset for it. But the stat, they compared like the Pirates last year. Because they started off hot
hot in April.
And then, and then this year, and all like the stat. Like the Pirates, they start off hot, but their run differential was -5.
Last year.
This year, it's +24.
Yeah, they're hitting the shit out of the ball.
They're hitting, their ERA is way down, so it's like, maybe it's different. We'll see.
They are playing a lot of close games, though. I think they've gone to extras 3 times already. They're 3-0 in extra innings.
Yeah.
And then they've won or lost a game in the ninth, I think, twice, which in a 16-game sample. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Playing 33% of your games coming down to the
last. This is not Pittsburgh baseball talk. This is who is cooking. And I got another one on the list for you, which is brand new, hot off the press. Our boy Landon Tice puts Brian Green in the ground in the 10K heads up. So, you know, he's moving on.
Oh, okay.
Does he have another 4 more rounds or something like that before he gets a nice little trophy?
No, maybe it was 26 runners total.
Okay, I can't do that.
This
next,
is in so. Scoop?
No, he's playing the 10K heads up at Florida.
Oh, I didn't realize, that was a thing that was happening.
Last but not least, who's not cooking? It's our boy Jack Effel.
Oh boy.
Jack, RIP with this statement.
Bro.
Look at him.
Who fucking...
Honest to God,
I get it. Like, at some point, you're so high up and you've been around for so long that the company just entrusts you to say whatever. Like, you're the face of WSOP. Go do an interview. We trust that you will do right by the business, by the WSOP, by its players.
However,
you know, you will for sure take this marketing faux pas of announcing the circuit 1 month prior to it coming, being at a new venue than what we've been advertising for the last year. You will definitely change the tone by saying, if you're calling 22, you're calling 28. Because that is for sure how this statement reads to me.
Yeah.
So the question was, there's been some pushback from players about moving the TOC to Commerce and the expenses involved in LA before traveling to Vegas. What message do you have to send those players? Jack Effel, fuck them.
If that wasn't the biggest, the best, that was the best paraphrasing.
It's like three paragraphs, but I can just sum it up with a fuck them.
Nah, mm-hmm. Seriously, that was one of the best paraphrases I've ever fucking heard in my life.
He said, the players find expenses to go to many places across the U.S. where we hold WSOP circuit. It's not that we just threw something at them at the last minute, but that you must go to LA. Okay, first of all, it is it is for sure that you just threw something at him last minute. Yeah. And on top of that, it's that you have to go to the most expensive city in America. Mm-hmm. We've invested in the Tournament of Champion event in LA so that the players can come and play in their free roll. They won their entry into the TOC event and the prize money that came along with it. It's not like they're losers in the total sum game. How fucking tone deaf
This guy?
Like, Jesus Christ, man. Do you have any idea, any clue how the economics of tournaments work?
I don't think he does.
Because I don't think you do, man. There are people who won a fucking $400 ring event for $1,850.
Right.
And are now being tasked, which, by the way, probably went straight to their makeup.
I was going to say about 30% of them only had 20% of themselves as well.
I'm exaggerating the point, obviously, yeah. But there were plenty of fucking ring events where first place was less than 10K, and a lot of these are just makeup eaters for people who are playing in the event. Mm-hmm. On top of that, the added benefit of this free roll is a little extra EV. You're getting, it's basically like a $1,500 seat, 1K seat, depending on how many people play and show up.
Now, let's look at it from the flip side real quick, from a recreational standpoint. People work. Nobody wants to go to fucking LA right before the series to play. Because, like, if you're thinking about it from a pros aspect, like, he could say, fuck the pros. He could go complete GG on it and just say, fuck the pros. Nobody cares about the pros. But if you think about it from a Rex aspect, it's like, all right, well, the series is, what, a week away? 2 weeks after?
2.5 weeks prior.
Like, people work. People have lives. They can't take... People have kids, and, like, you want them to come to the series.
The only reason I don't think that's a fair argument is because it's not just one event. It's an entire circuit series that they're putting on in LA, just like every other circuit. That's... Jack makes that point, and I think that that's somewhat valid.
But that's big, so big. That's so close to WSOP. You're forcing people to go, like...
You're not forcing anything.
You're giving them a free $1,500 buy-in that they deserve because they won.
First of all, let's be clear. It's not free. This was all taken out of the prize pool.
No, they deserve, they won.
World Series is contributing exactly $0 to this.
A ring.
Okay, so they probably took that too. Every single person who entered these events, it's all pulled from the prize pool.
Yeah, so
what are we even doing here?
Right. Right. It's a fucking joke.
Like, why are we making it out to, like, they make it seem like they're giving back to the players.
Correct. They're not.
No. You're getting this money that's taking out for this quote unquote free 1K or 1500, but then.
By the way, it used to be like a 10K seat.
Wait.
You're going to spend $600 on a flight. Then you have to spend how many hundreds of dollars on hotel?
Approximately 25.
To play against a bunch of other champions. Like, it's not a soft field either.
Right. And you get 7% or 6% state tax withheld the second you cash.
Yeah, that's right, too.
That you have to fight back to get at the end of the year. You have to prove losses in California.
Shout
in
out order, to Tax Day. Everyone do their taxes.
In order to recoup that. Yeah, Conrad has a... You're fine. Don't worry. There's nothing to come get.
What are you talking about?
If they ever audit you, buddy, I'll just show them the tab. You're safe.
We're not worried about that.
I'm going to roll it out like a medieval scroll.
We're not worried about it.
Be like, actually, government, I'd like to tax your ass. I'd like to claim Conrad as a dependent.
Yeah, for sure.
Give me my refund immediately.
God.
I mean, I think that this is laughable. This statement is such a clown statement. I mean, you couldn't get it more wrong. You could take a somewhat apologetic tone here and say, like, look, this has been a corporate decision. We understand it's a corporate decision. We're going to do everything in our power. Hell, offer them free rooms, maybe. The other thing he went on to say is that the one thing that's probably a shocker is that this came 2 months prior to the summer WSOP. We've been working on this deal for almost a year. If we could have announced it 6 months ago, we would have 100%. I think if folks really want to play, hopefully they can come to California, play for a few days, visit Hollywood, enjoy the sun, and play the TLC. Okay,
that
look.
That was like, okay, oh my God.
This is such a fuck you. First of all, you're lying. You have not been working on this for a year. You're fucking lying because over or less than a year ago, July of 2024, you announced that the TLC would be in Vegas. So if you had any grumblings in your mind, which, by the way, a year ago would have been April of 2024, you would have, or 2023 rather, if you had any inclination 5 months later, or April, May, June, July. Okay, so 4 months later, if you had any inclination that this deal was in the works, you certainly wouldn't release a press statement saying it's that 2024 will be in Vegas.
Yeah, just say it's...
To be determined.
It's right behind you.
Right.
To be determined.
Right. 2024 location will be to be determined. Like,
right.
No fucking shot.
Right.
They were in the works with this in July of 2023.
Listen, this...
0%.
This message just reads like, I'm Jack Effel and fuck off.
Yeah, there's just like so much that's not being truthful and transparent here. Like, this is, in my opinion, this certainly has something to do with the GG deal. Like, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because of the Bally stream setup, if it's the trying to distance themselves from PokerGo, but this is for sure some sort of test run with streams, right? Mm-hmm. They're streaming like, I think, 18 of the events, something along those lines, and they're not including PokerGo, who's been their streaming partner for the last 5 years. We know that GG is trying to acquire the WSOP. We also know that PokerGo is in the ring to acquire WSOP. They are very much a big part of the production. We know that GG and PokerGo may work together, but GG is never going to retain PokerGo as the production house. So whatever the fuck all of this is, nobody's dumb enough to believe that this is just you wanting to bring poker to the commerce and that you've been working on this deal for over a year. And hey, sorry that we just had to announce it 45 days prior to it fucking happening. That was just an oversight because we couldn't leak it sooner. It's like, all of this is bullshit. Mm-hmm. This is all corporate speak for we're doing what is best for our partnerships moving forward. And you guys are going to be the ones who get raked over the coals for it. No one wants to play in fucking California. No one wants to pay a 6% stake tax to a state that they do not live in and that they have to fight tooth and nail to claw back at the end of the year.
Right. Such a shitty place it is.
I mean, I'm not a fan of LA, but that's not my point. Like, there's a lot of redeeming qualities. Like, he's not wrong about there being fun things to do in LA. There's Disneyland, there's Hollywood, there's the beach. There's a lot of fucking wonderful things about LA.
All cost a lot of money, probably.
They're all very expensive. And if you're going to LA for a 3 week long series with 24 events or
you're
going to be
at
the goddamn Commerce.
Right.
And let's not pretend that that place is getting some remarkable facelift. This is the dungeon of all dungeons of fucking places to play. It is an absolute miserable experience being at the Commerce. And I hope that that changes. But currently, you can't fucking straddle. You can't play with an ante. You can't play bomb pots. You can't do anything fun, and the whole place is an absolute doomsday device when it comes to anything poker related. The rake is incredibly high, the taxes are incredibly high, the food is okay. I mean, that part they kind of get right, but they should because of how much they're charging you. And the place is just a fucking, pardon my French, dump. Like, I would love it not
pardon
to be
French.
I would love it not to be, but it's a fucking dump. Right? Yeah. Like, if we're comparing Commerce to the bike is a 5-star resort by comparison. It's a 2.5 star hotel, and that's generous.
Okay, that's the best picture they could find. By
that,
the way.
That is a glamour shot of the Commerce Casino. There's nothing fucking appealing to this place except that it's big. That's it. So, like, let's not pretend this is all just a coinkydink or some like long-standing deal that they've had in place. If they really wanted to take poker to LA and they wanted to showcase it in a place that is prepared for MTTs and that is actually nice, it would have went to the bike.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't it go to the bike? Because they don't have a streaming setup any longer, right? Like, I know I'm ranting here, but this article is just such a spit in the face to anybody who's dumb enough to believe a single fucking word of it.
Yeah.
I believed everybody said.
Like, come on, man.
the comments were pretty
yeah,
bad.
People get it.
Right, right. Exactly.
People get it. They see through it. Mm-hmm. Some of the comments as they came in, Ken Bamey says, back to when the global oh, so here's some context to this. Jack said, the championship's only been in Vegas 3 times.
Yeah.
Totally fair. Totally fair. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be in Vegas. That's not what people are upset about.
Right.
People are upset that you moved it to a state with 7% or 6% income or local tax that you're going to have to claw back. And you moved it to the most expensive fucking city in the world.
And it's a non-Harris fucking resort.
Like, and you did say, you did say that it was
going to
be in
Vegas. And it was going to be in Vegas. So Ken said, back when the global championship was at Cherokee, players were provided with a free room and travel stipend.
Right.
That would alleviate all your problems here.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to get people fucking singing the praises of the circuit again.
Here you go. Here's a free room. Here's some. Here's exactly. a dinner every night.
Right, and the Commerce is a 2.5 star hotel. What's it going to cost you? $29 per person. Like, it can't be that expensive.
It probably is for the if you want to. Like, I mean, if they made a deal with them. To
if they've been working this deal for a year, you can't get free fucking rooms.
Right.
They could have thrown like $50K cost them. Probably cost them less than that.
Yeah.
Way under.
No, free rooms and food for what, 1,000 people.
Yeah.
No, it's like 700 people, and at this point, I think half show up.
Yeah, right. True. I mean, if things are free, everybody shows up.
And then he said, not to mention the date and place were known well in advance in the past, which, you know, the place was supposedly known a year in advance almost. Since last July, we've known it was going to be in Vegas, or so we thought. Someone random said, the big issue is twofold. The advertising clearly said that TOC 2024 would be in Vegas. If this was in the works, at a minimum, announcing the TOC location was to be determined would have been nice. Thank you. Thank you for doubling down on our point.
Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of people that actually like and plan ahead in life. Like, and 45 days, they would have a heart attack if they didn't have their fucking plans set already.
Of course.
Like,
of course.
Their rooms booked, their flights done. Within 45, they would have a heart attack 3 months out. It's not done yet.
Everything's obviously more expensive the closer you get to the
well, hey, they all won their events.
Yeah, so they're fine.
They're fine.
My circuit ring, I won like $6,500.
If you're traveling to Cherokee, you're traveling to L.A.
Cherokee gives
shuffle
free
up and deal. He said, number two, L.A. is not cheap in terms of travel expenses, not the same as doing it at the other spot, which is also true. Like, if it was going to be during the World Series, which was the original plan, everybody would have already had travel and lodging paid for because they're here for other shit.
Right.
You just made it a whole nother series that didn't previously exist.
Mm-hmm.
For what? Brandon Muller said, we've been working on this deal for almost a year, quote unquote. However, all the advertising clearly stated TOC in Vegas 2024. Cool. I mean, these are just like, this is like catching an 8-year-old lying. Just like, well, which is it? Are you lying or are you stupid? You pick.
Yep.
You get to pick which one you want to be. Are you a liar or are you dumb? Because you can't be telling the truth and smart. Like, that, none of that makes any sense. And it can't be that inconsistent that 1 year ago, April 2023, you were working on this deal with Commerce. And then in July 2023, you said, the tournament and championship will be in Las Vegas, Nevada, 2024. How?
Yeah. And then
it's just not a thing.
Yeah. 2 months out, you say it's going to be somewhere else.
Yeah. It's just literally not a thing. The last statement from Jack was, we always tried to stay as as a player's event. No matter where the World Series of Poker has gone in the world, first and foremost, we value the player more than anything, and we believe in keeping the WSOP special. We love seeing people succeed. We believe in trying to make dreams come true and be a part of those dreams because they are our dreams too.
Do you think he had ChatGPT write that? He's like, let me. What's a PR statement?
Honestly, I don't even think ChatGPT. Like, ChatGPT would see this statement and just be like, bullshit.
Nah, yeah. They're like, we're not doing that.
Like, come on, man. Yeah. I mean, we're AI, but right. Like, we're not.
Yeah.
We have some
standards.
Yeah. Like, come on. Read the room, buddy. Yeah. Like, come on, man. This is, I mean, it's just, it's too easy to criticize this stuff. And it's like, the WSOP does so much shit right. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Just create.
I love the WSOP.
Look. As a Steeler fan, as a Yinzer at his core, one of the things that we value the most about our sports teams, whether they're winning or losing, about the tradition and the underlying thread and the soul of the city, really, is the authenticity. The standard is the standard. Like that's the phrase around the Steelers specifically, right? Like they are a winning franchise. They have a traditional. They have a traditional past of doing things a certain way, and it somewhere along the lines became the standard is the standard. It's like, that's all we want from the WSOP. Let the standard be the fucking standard,
yeah.
Right? But the new standard that you're setting is that we're money grubbing and that we're going to do anything within our capabilities to up our bottom line by even a small amount, no matter what it takes. Like, even if it costs all of you in the process, right? Imagine nobody shows up for this fucking event.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care.
Oh.
It just increased the price of the seat per person for everybody who did show up, right? They could never see this as a failure. Oh, 200 people showed out of the 709.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Like, we're player first, but we're going to just try to inconvenience the players as much as we can.
I mean, the thing is, it's not even necessarily an inconvenience aspect of it, because what they're seeing it as is like, whoa, we're putting on a whole nother series.
Yeah.
So if nobody who travels the circuit comes, but we pull the LA market, then who cares? We just increased our consumer base.
Well, you can run that series, that circuit series, without having the TOC there.
Just that would have been the smart thing to do.
Right. Just run that series as a new series. Hey, that's great. You got the LA market, you know, and then just have the TOC just like it was in Vegas, like it was supposed to be, and all the people that can play it, because they're already going to be here for the summer.
That definitely would have been the intelligent thing to do.
Yeah.
The only thing I could think of is that it has something to do with production.
Right.
Like they want the TOC streamed by, I don't know if it's Bally or if GG's bringing in third-party crew or whatever, but for sure, it just seems like everything is aligning in a way of like, oh, the new studio is now open. Therefore, we can move forward with these plans to test run our ability to produce. And I don't care that GG wants to acquire the WSOP. Great. I don't care that they want to. Like, I get business all the time. I understand the business side. Even the other day when we were talking about the GG poker okay situation, it's like, whoa, if I put my business hat on for a second, like,
yeah.
You know, players side aside, it makes a lot of sense,
right,
to just make it a negative EV game for everybody playing. That's really great for the house. I get it. I'm not saying that's great for the ecosystem, but I get it. In this instance, it's like, I get it, but there are other ways to go about it. You know, like what you just said makes perfect sense. Run the series, test your streams, see what you can do, see what you can stress test everything,
yeah.
And then let the TOC championship run as it would in Vegas. Like, do you really think the championship is going to garner that much more viewership that it justifies putting everybody out? You know, like everybody, no one is happy about this. No one. It's not like there are so many. It would be different if like the majority of your ring winners were from LA.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the only people that are happy about it are, like, the three people that qualified that live in LA.
Right.
Everybody that works at the Commerce is very happy about this also. You can bring them a lot of business guys, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
they're happy.
Define that, though.
They get business all the time anyways.
No, I mean, you're not wrong, but it's just, like, who? Only the upper management cares.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Dealers make some extra tips, probably. Maybe not even right.
Fuck
right.
No. Yeah, no. Absolutely not. They have to go do a bunch of downs now in these shitbag tournaments.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of
where like
true.
Yeah, they're getting 3% chopped 400 ways or whatever, but like that's definitely not where they make their money. They do well in cash. Nobody wants to get pushed out of the cash rotation.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
God, this has me in the fucking muck.
In the muck. Well,
yeah.
It's me. I'm in the muck.
It's me. Hi. I'm in the muck again.
We're on a bit of a downswing.
Whoo. That's that looks like the when I open up trading
yeah.
view.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, I'm a shitcoin.
It looks
right now.
Exactly the same.
I'm a shitcoin. Some of those I only have like the 300, 600 games, I think I had 65% of myself, so those losses are actually much larger. I should have flipped the tab on that shows the real results. I think it was actually like, oh, whatever. We don't need to get into it. It's a lot. I think I'm on like a net 500K downswing of which I had 290-ish, maybe 300, give or take. About 60-65% of that is mine.
There goes that fucking backyard. Again. Just when you thought you had the backyard, it's gone.
Conrad cut me off because he was so fast to rush into the who's cooking. But mm-hmm. I was going to ask, now that I can't afford to hire a team to build my backyard, you know, would the La Manager consider it? We can go piece by piece, yeah. You know. First, we'll have you lay the sod and we'll have you tend to that. You know?
I will do the barbecue part. Whatever the outdoor kitchen barbecue.
That's the absolute last thing on earth I care about for my backyard.
I'm pretty good with landscaping.
Okay, now we're talking.
Well, what? I figured once I you know have
the
a nice,
entire yard
barbecue,
will be done.
Then you can just hire me to cook you steak all
no,
the
time. No, the entire yard will be done before I get a grill out there. Like oh I can't God. Think of anything less that I care about. I have
Why?
Because I have a fucking $80,000 stove. Like. It'll, it's fine.
Yeah, you can't grill a good steak on a stove.
Grilling is like literally 20% of the actual steak process if you do it right.
Careful, you're gonna hurt his feelings.
Yeah, but like he knows
what are you talking
he
about?
Knows.
What are you talking about? You want to fight? Like,
I actually made a steak this weekend. It was great. I put it on the smoker first, then on the grill.
Mm.
Yeah.
Pan finish.
Yeah. Well, no, just seared over the coals, hot coals.
Mm, okay.
So yeah, you know, smoked and then. Seared.
Beautiful. Yeah, what I'm thinking is, you know, we have you relay the sod for the pups.
Okay.
And then I'm going to get a tiny house delivered
mm-hmm,
for the gym.
For Melissa to have
no,
her baby.
No. Melissa's out. No birthing house, okay? we're going to have the tiny house delivered. I'm going to get all the gym equipment. Then I'm going to need you to lay some cement.
Okay.
I need like a walkway up to the gym.
Right.
You know, and a little cement pad area for my garbage cans.
You don't like pavers?
Pavers are expensive.
Yeah.
They're probably about three times the cost of cement.
Okay.
I can help with the cement. I laid some concrete back in my day. Me and Mark.
Yeah.
Mark. Uncle Mark. You know, Uncle he's Mark, just out there. My knees and back are all fucked up from laying that concrete. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I know how to work a shovel.
Okay.
We'll get out. All right. You and me. We're going to lay the concrete.
Okay.
And then not really sure how we're going to get the pickleball court done. I don't think that's a you-me job.
No, I think we have to outsource.
We're going to have to upswing. We're going to have to get me out of the muck for the pickleball court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I haven't won in, I don't know, months. So it
first
feels.
2 days of the fucking cruise, guy wins 300K. I haven't won in months.
Well, I just lost 180 prior to that.
Yeah.
So all I did was cancel out my downswing that I was on, and then I immediately re-canceled that out.
Right. So you have to look at the cruise as a trip as a whole, right?
Right?
So he didn't win for the trip.
Correct.
He, you know, even though there were some wins in between.
Yeah. If I had expanded that that chart out a little bit, you would have saw three wins, which were the initial first 3 days of the cruise, and then prior to that, like four losses.
Just zoom out, Burke. Just when you're in the muck, just zoom out.
I am winning for the year.
Yeah.
Don't sure know how. I don't know how,
right.
But I am still profitable for the year. But I'm currently in the muck, and I have a hand from yesterday that I don't feel good about.
So we're going to run it.
Yeah, we're going to run right through this one. So situation is we're playing 100-100 with 100 ante. So we're playing 8-handed, so it's actually under the gun 7 opens.
Isn't under gun 7 mean you're playing 7-handed?
Yes.
No, it just means that... Well,
yeah.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, when you put it in the thing, that's what I don't know.
I understand.
It's fucking Landon's fault.
It is all
this goddamn shit. If none of he didn't have to say under the gun 1, 2, 3, 8, 10. All you gotta do is say we're 8-handed and he was under the gun plus one.
Well,
boom.
Well, what you're saying is is correct, right? Yeah. So though it's an 8-handed table.
The under the gun person folded.
Correct.
So you were UTG 14 divided by 2.
Sure.
Cool.
Okay. Either way, it doesn't matter. This is what happened.
It's fine. So under the gun 7 opens to 300. Gets called by the cutoff, I think, and the button, or the hijack and the button, either way. Folds to me in the big blind, and I choose to squeeze to 2,000. A little bit larger, but when we're playing this deep, people are very call happy. And the two flatters are never folding. Under the gun 7, then 4 bets to 6K, which this could be the spot where I guess maybe I'm just supposed to exit.
You're going to say rip?
No.
Cat
no.
Jam it in, baby. You got the hand.
No, maybe you're not supposed to exit?
Not for 400 bits.
Wappa would never put another dollar in his life here.
You're not folding a suited wheel.
So in theory... At 200 big blinds, this hand, 4 bets are in calls.
Okay.
It obviously never folds.
Yes.
But it's also versus normal sizes, which would be 2.5x, call, 16, and then a 4 bet to 38.
And these are steroid sizes.
Right. So these are 1.5x, those sizes. So I don't know. It's broken. I don't know what happens.
Wouldn't that mean you'd want to 4 bet more?
Wouldn't it be a 5 bet?
Oh, I'm sorry. Open, 3 bet, 4 bet. Yeah, 5 bet more?
No. 5 bets, probably not, because the threshold of equity for him to put this much money in goes
up.
That's
true, yeah.
So probably less. You probably start to mix between call and fold at almost never 5 bet, I would imagine.
Okay.
But again, we're twice as deep as those sims.
Yeah.
So maybe it's all relative. Maybe I'm still just supposed to 5 bet. By the way, it's 5 bet not all in.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe I'm supposed to 5 bet bluff here to 16.5.
I was going to say, what would your size be, 16?
16.5 seems so big though. He only has 37,000 to start.
Yeah. It seems like you almost have to
I mean, I don't think there's another size. No, you can't click
do
out.
14?
Can't click out of position.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Honestly, I'm not even so sure that 5 bet not all in
is
real, because what would you use other than aces? And aces, I might just call a lot.
You just wouldn't even 5 bet jam. You just call.
Yeah, kings pure 5 bet jams.
Yeah,
for what it's worth. At 200, at these it all gets weird. But the strategy I would actually take here, I would 5 bet jam kings. I would probably mostly call, if not fully call, queens, jacks, and tens. I would 5 bet jam ace king off. I would mostly call ace king suited, and I would probably mix between calling and jamming aces.
Yeah.
But mainly because the person who 4 bet me, I just don't think is bluffing very often. The only problem is I think that he may have jacks at some frequency and then fold.
Okay.
But tough to know. Honestly, at this depth, anything could change, because usually he's not this deep either.
Yeah.
So being 400 blinds deep with him, I'm not entirely sure as well.
Did you say ace king off call and ace
I would
king
jam
suited?
Ace king,
yeah, jam ace king off call, ace king suited.
Right.
Yeah. At this depth, it becomes a little weird, because technically he could have king queen suited. Technically he could have king jack suited, which are decent bluffs. But I'm not entirely sure, because usually he's sub 200 effective.
Yeah.
So it gets a little weird. Anyway, I choose to go through a call. I mean, I think that's the safest path. Folding is probably fine. We flop a lot of equity. Mm-hmm. And
check clubs, deuce of clubs,
deuce of spades. The issue is, so I have ace five of clubs here. I have obviously the nut flush draw, backdoor wheel. The issue becomes, though, like, I don't really have any good hands to represent. Because my immediate instinct was, I'm going to check raise this flop. And then it becomes like,
you're up in Jack's fold.
It's just so bad. Like, paired boards would be a great spot to be in to check raise here. But it needs to be like...
Not the deuces.
Not deuces.
No, yeah. Definitely not. You like, need it to be like...
Seven, having deuces.
You need to be hands where I have coverage. Like, the only coverage I have here is like seven deuce.
Yeah.
Because the seven deuce game's on. But the problem is, like, we put so much money in, it's very unlikely.
It's like Jack 8-8.
Jack 10-10 would be nice. Something like that.
Yeah, Jack 10-10, Jack 8-8. Yeah. Jack 10-10's tough, too, because he has so much equity.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
He just yellows it off a lot.
Yeah, sure.
The point is, you want to be able to get ace-king to fold.
Yeah.
Right.
He may have like ace queen sometimes too. I doubt it, but maybe. So you want to be able to get those hands to fold.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you're calling a four bet with 7-8 suited, 8-9 suited.
If I three bet, yes. Yeah. I'll have the fantastic four at some frequency for sure. I probably have it a lot less often based off of who the two flat callers were, but I definitely have it some.
You're almost never folding any of your three bets here to a four.
I have like king jack off.
Yeah, that's it.
King jack off, king queen off, probably.
Any of the offsuit.
Ace 10 off, ace jack off. Yeah, I'm folding a fair amount.
Sure, those. All right, yeah.
I mean, like, I don't have ace jack suited. I probably have zero jacks in range.
Yeah.
I might have jack 10 suited some of the time, but probably not often. Which is kind of interesting because the line he took is clearly targeting a jack, but I surely almost never have one. He can't know that though. So I check, he bets 40%, which I think is really good. And now I have a decision between basically clicking and, calling. I don't think I ever played jams. So we're like 133% pot behind, give or take. So he has 27,000 behind with, like 22.5 in the middle.
Why don't we play any smashes here? Because I feel like that's like...
That was going to be my question as well.
You just don't have value jams. Like, you don't want queens. Wouldn't shove queens to only get called by kings and aces.
Right. Yeah, that's true. We're funneling them. So it's like...
Right? Like, you want to extract value. You want to make ace-king indifferent for your value hands and for your bluffs. Like, that's the sole target, right? Aces and kings are never folding.
Yeah.
Queens are never folding. He probably doesn't have very much jack X. Though he may have, like, again, some king jack off as a bluff, ace jack off as a bluff, whatever. But he doesn't have a ton. So you just want to, like, put a lot of pressure on his C bet range, which I assume is going to be close to a range bet. So this is where I'm in the muck, is that I felt in real time that I should be playing small raise.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think we can, like, play a small raise here. It feels like it was a smooth, like, it's just call.
Well, what's the downside to raising?
We get it smashed in our face, which is whatever.
Call. Sure. I mean, just call.
Just call.
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels like we only funnel them to good hands, kind of. We get the ace-king to fold, sure, but we can just get that to fold later.
Yeah, ace-king might call.
Well, if it calls, that's fine. It's going to fold to the turn, Jim.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Assuming it doesn't improve.
Yeah.
I just don't see many hands that peel, and we're jamming turn. So what hands peel that fold to our jam on turn?
Ace king of spades, ace queen of spades. Maybe he has a hand like ace king, king of clubs. He could have hands like tens that could be
does he four bet tens?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know. He could have worse club draws. Not that that's a good thing. Not that that's necessarily a good event, but he also might just like three bet rip those, which is a good event for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. King clubs.
Most importantly, I think when we come through the check raise line, I think our ace becomes live almost always.
Yeah, makes sense.
We're not against aces very often, and ace king, ace queen have to fold some of the time at least.
Unimproved on turn.
Right. And then unimproved on turn when we jam, our ace is almost definitely live.
Yeah.
Right? Barring this small frequency that we run into jacks. But you know, you just live and let live at that point. Mm-hmm. We also have seven deuce in range, although very, 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 very little. We are playing the bounty, so he has to at least be considerate of that.
Yeah.
Like, if I three bet seven deuce suited, I'm not going to fold.
Right.
Of course.
Right? Even though it's probably pretty bad, but...
But you're not doing it.
I mean, you're getting a $2,400 bounty attached.
Yeah.
It's just, like, pretty tough to fold.
Right.
This particular hand. That's a lot of big blinds. It's mm-hmm. 24 big blinds right. just added. So yeah, I very much regret not, I'm in the muck about not raising. I chose the call because it's like, well, it's only 40% pot and that's a pretty good price
then,
to peel.
And then, but the worst case scenario happens.
Well, the other thing is, the other thing going through my mind is he shouldn't really play jams on the turn, but I know him. I know he's only going to play jam.
Right.
So
he just wants to simplify his, like his strategy, his decisions. Just.
Yeah. Like in theory, this is going to be another like B40 spot to maximize because it's such a narrow target you're shooting at, right? Like when you jam, I'm going to have my traps in aces, which is bad for your jamming range. I'm going to have jacks, which is also bad for your jamming range. And then I'm going to have like queens,
yeah,
which could be bad or could be good depending on what you're jamming.
So B40 was basically 3E on the flop, right? But he didn't follow through.
Was it three? Yeah, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm. Any unstudied player jams here, I think. Like,
I agree.
You'll
I agree
never see a 40%. You'll never see a smaller bet than all in on turn.
I agree with you. Although when he nailed the sizing on the flop, I was kind of just like, oh,
interesting.
Okay, well, maybe we see this through then.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
This is really annoying. Yeah, I see why calling does suck.
Calling felt bad.
Yeah, this is
just because you get into the situation where you just have to fold all your equity.
Right. So or,
and we don't want to.
So
do
the turn
that.
Comes eight of spades. I check. He jams. This I'm not in the muck about. I'm confident this is a fold.
Right.
I'm just pretty sure one to come. We can't ever call here.
No.
Yeah, no.
Especially because like his bluffs are ace king, ace queen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which we're just like fucking dead to.
Yeah.
The only thing that could have saved us is if he has hands like king 10 of clubs, king queen of clubs in range,
right?
Which he very well might.
Yeah.
But now I'm just like fucking myself for not having played check raise on the flop.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm very in the muck about the flop. I asked a couple people about it. They were like very much on the side of you should play raise.
Really?
But then when I said who the profile was, they're like, well, you should play raise, but I don't know if you have fold equity with a raise.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, yeah, in which case now you have to fold pre.
Yeah.
So I need to make one of two. It can't go both ways.
Yeah,
either I need to fold pre or I just need to live with my equity on the flop.
Yeah.
And just go
and
with
just
it.
Die the times that he has the overpairs.
It makes sense because that, like, when turn runs off, like it feels real shit. He's only going to play jams. We're just putting
the other thing
really
is like, what do I do when a club
spot.
Rolls off? I'm just never facing another bet.
Yeah, you're just going to go check, check,
like,
turn.
You have to I have to lead quarter.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have to lead.
I just have to lead quarter, yeah. always.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's like any way of getting around it. I probably have to like bluff a jack too. I probably have to like donk a quarter on a jack and then jam river.
Yeah, that would make sense because he shouldn't have too many jacks outside.
Neither of us should have a jack, to be quite honest.
But it doesn't matter.
But like, he can't know that about me, and I can definitely know
that
about
him.
Him.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right. So yeah, I'll be interested to see what the solve says for this one. Obviously, we're playing pure check here. It does like the 3E size. It's not a range bet, though. He's betting every hand. Well, that's not true. He's not betting jacks.
Matt, we're looking at the flop right now. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's actually pure checking back jacks. That's the only pure check back though. And I think a lot of these hands probably don't exist, but I left them in because I'm not sure what does exist. So like, I don't think these suited kings are ever in there. Like literally never.
No.
But again, I have no fucking clue, man. He might just like know something I don't. He may have like looked at these spots. He might be going for. I truly don't know without getting the showdown. And the issue is, like, when you leave these hands in, our hand goes way, way, way up in equity.
Yeah.
So it's, like, sure. way up in equity, right? So I assume he's actually betting 40% with his range. Like, we could probably lock this bet here. Let me take out the check. I also assume, like, his range is probably a lot tighter than this, but... let's see what happens. We probably raise slightly more often with our hand. So yeah, now it becomes just a pure raise.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it is the click size. So we're basically just like min raising here a little bit over.
Why did you say we couldn't click?
Why? I didn't say.
No, he did. He said
I
he would
wish
click.
I would
he, wouldn't,
have.
He wouldn't jam.
You can't jam.
Can't jam, right.
You can see it is playing a small amount of jams, but the jams are coming like just from a very tiny little fraction
such a minuscule amount.
Trapped aces, queens without a club, I assume.
It's funny because
actually queens with a club.
It's funny because I thought when you said you can't, like, what would you jam? And I literally specifically thought in my mind, like, well, aces might want to jam.
Yeah, but like aces just wants to raise.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like if you isolate it to the jam, it becomes aces with a club that will jam at a very small frequency. And I imagine that's because that positions him to now having kings and queens mm-hmm. at a really high frequency.
Right.
And not the nut flush draw.
Yeah.
Which may like be very mad versus a jam. And I assume the same thing with queens. The reason why you're shoving the queen of clubs is both backup equity as well as you reduce him from having like flush draws to some degree. Like he doesn't have ace queen of clubs any longer. Mm-hmm. But anyway, like I think jam is like pretty much off the table here. Yeah. You can see that we do play the click size. Before I locked him to a check, whenever he actually was able to check to begin with, my hand I didn't look at, so we'll have to see.
I was trying to figure out what was the click size there.
10,700.
Okay.
So literally just like straight min raise.
Okay.
So whenever he does still have a check in range, I imagine we're not going to play pure raise. Yeah. So our hand starts to mix. So it does mostly call. I mean, I didn't get it that wrong, I suppose. It still does like to click at some frequency. Looks like about 15% of the time, give or take. And it plays a little bit of jam. You can see whenever he has check backs, we play jam a little bit more often, just 1% more often. And it's basically ace, queen of clubs that just value shoves a lot more often, which that makes a lot of sense to me because you have to realize the equity of this hand to the fullest. Because
you have two overs as well.
Well, you have at least one over,
no matter what. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the big difference here.
Unless he has aces.
Yeah, right, correct. But, you know, basically against his value range, including ace king, you're just doing incredibly well.
Yeah.
I will say, though, it's kind of a little odd because you reduce him from, like, he never has king queen of clubs any longer, which you can see that he pretty much is supposed to be four betting at a really high frequency. Looks like this is like an 80% four bet.
This is also like a live situation. Like, do you think this person is four betting that much king queen?
No.
Suited?
Yeah. No. Exactly. Definitely not. I'm not even sure. I'm pretty sure king nine and below are like never in there.
Completely
I'm pretty
out.
Sure like ace seven through ace six are never in there.
Yeah.
The king tens I'm not certain about. The king jacks, but like you can see both rangers are like totally devoid of jacks, right?
Yeah.
Like that's the important thing here. Like it has me having ace jack suited here some of the time, but like I just wouldn't squeeze a hand like that often. It's too valuable.
I would just
squeeze ace queen suited because it's so much better. Like these hands just all become easy calls where like now when you're using the wheels, it's fine because now if he sizes, like I go 2K, if he goes like 8,500, I have
fold.
Like a snap fold. Yeah. I have no decision, right? Yeah. So people will just like often, you know, miss size and things like that. You want to leave yourself out. I like I said, I guess I do have king jack suited here some of the time. That's a hand I could see myself squeezing.
But it
has me folding it most pre.
When we just have the ace jack suited, it's just a shitty hand to squeeze because somebody has the ace queen here. It just feels like the caller.
None
behind.
Of the callers have ace queen.
The caller never?
No. Nah. And if they do, they fold. Like that's the profile, right? Like if they don't three bet ace queen, then they fold it to a big squeeze anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, so like theory has me playing a mix. I think in practice, I just have to be playing more raise again because I think that this C bet probably comes through always. well, I guess it's not worth me looking at what happens when we raise because we didn't raise. So let's see what happens whenever we call and the turn ace spades comes off. Do I get to play leads? I doubt it. Wow, I do.
No.
I get to play a lot of leads.
Yeah.
That's shocking to me.
That's fucking sick, actually. Why do we get to play leads here?
I mean, it's really driven by queens. And I think it's because we have a lot of jacks.
Yeah.
Oh, we still have pocket eights, too. So that's part of it. we still have, like... I guess if we look at the set breakdown when we go to ranges, this will be a big indicator as to why.
Did you put seven deuce in ranges?
I took it out because he definitely wouldn't forbid. Like, there's no way he's putting 6K in with 7 deuce.
Right.
And I'm very, very unlikely to have it outside of, like, one pseudo combo.
Gotcha.
So I just left it out for simplicity. But, yeah, I mean, this is basically, this lead is driven by the fact that we have, like, 8% of our range is full houses where he has none. Even though he probably does have jacks at some frequency. And then we split the overpair difference. Like, we're trapping aces just enough that we both have 41% overpairs. The difference is he has kings and we have none.
Yeah, because you just jam kings.
Right. But yeah, I'm still a little surprised by the lead because we have so many underpairs where he just doesn't have those. Right? So, like, we have 10s, 9s, and 7s and 6s where he just, like, never has these hands. What's the overall equity difference? Sorry, let me look at the breakdown real quick. That's not where it's at. Where's it at? It's at ranges, right?
Yep.
I thought it gave an equity. Oh, there it is. Okay, so the equity is actually more favorable for us, which I'm surprised by. I'm not really sure. I guess it's because my range is just so tight. Like, I'm only supposed to have 10 combos of hands. But I just have so many more. Like, in practice, I have so many more than this, right? Yeah. Like, so I have 10 combos of hands and like 5 of them are queens. It's like half of my range is pocket queens,
right,
in this particular instance. And then like a third of my range is like ace queen suited. So I have ace queen of spades and ace queen of clubs. So that makes up like a huge number of theoretical combos that I possess, which is driving a ton of fucking equity for me, right? Because like we have overpairs, we have nut flush draws. These are good hands to have. But in reality, I'm probably a lot wider than this because, like, to Conrad's point, when we're this deep, I probably don't 3-bet fold very often except for my offsuit variety. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I populated these closer to what I do in real life, I probably have, like, I don't know, 30 hands. Like, it's probably much closer to even, in which case I probably would play no leads. And I definitely would have played no leads in real time.
That would make a lot.
So let's see what happens if we never lead.
The lead side was for a quarter?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll check and see what his response is supposed to be to a lead otherwise. So yeah, you can see he never jams. He just continues to play 3E. Mm-hmm. Again, this is because his strategy is largely driven by kings and aces.
And 3E is, I can't 41, say.
41%. So 40%. Yeah. Also, this is not probably going to happen much in practice, but again, he might just have the random 7 deuce. He has ace deuce suited here like 15% of the time.
And you're saying which just never has his dead.
Yeah. Probably never happens, yeah. But he could just have a random click with 7 deuce.
Yeah.
You know, the bounty is real. So when he does choose to jam, I assume we have a pure fold. Yeah, so our hand just pure folds.
Right.
We're dusting if we call.
And we are only, wow, 9s is calling a little bit, 10s. Beats ace king, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like if he's bluffing, it's probably coming from the ace king. You can see our ace king just folds.
Can you look at the tens and nines and tell me if it's suit dependent? Yes,
has to be.
Jacks too.
Oh no, it's. I guess not because almost every combo has a spade or a club.
Yeah, that's right. Interesting.
And he doesn't have those hands.
Right, not they, don't block or unblock anything. You're either beating ace king or you're dead. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes some sense to me. He'll have a little bit more bluff combos coming out of the 10x region, but not a ton. You can see that our jacks are actually doing a lot of the calling. So of course, ace jack of spades is no brainer, but like it's calling with the other varieties pure when we have it. King jack also calling pure. Ace queen suited actually shockingly folds. Ace queen of clubs pure fold. But again, this is probably why it plays mostly raise and exits the flop.
Yeah.
Ace queen of spades though calling off, so it really likes to call off the backdoor more. You can see ace king of spades pure call, or ace king of clubs is like a mix. That's crazy to me too. I would never fold ace king of clubs. It's way too. I would really never have it though.
No,
if we're being honest.
Yeah.
And then of course aces pure call, queens actually mixes. Which I guess makes sense. Again, he's not very incentivized to jam. If he chooses 40% as expected, then we start doing some jamming. Now we play all in a lot more with the ace five of clubs and a ton more with the spades. Ace jack, like pure jams outside of spades. Kind of crazy. Queen starts to play a lot of all ins. particularly when they do not have a club. Aces, same thing. Mm-hmm. And then you can see we bluff catch a lot with like the middle of our range. So our king jack, our tens, our nines. These are going to like probably call fold some, call some. Even like a little bit of the fantastic fours in there. That's going to do a lot of calling and then folding if it's unimproved. So yeah, like the spot kind of is what I thought it would be. If we go back and add a lead in, I'll see if it changes his strategy at all. If he starts to like have any jams,
yeah.
I highly doubt it, but, whoops, I thought we were doing percent here. My bad. Quarter. Okay. So we know that the quarter pot comes through a lot. I don't think, once I do choose to check. Okay. Yeah, so he has like 1% jams. Yeah. It's aces and ace king suited.
Yeah.
The back doors.
Oh, that
obviously the deuce too. Kind of happy. And then ace queen off is your bluff, the one that blocks the nut flush draw, the front door nut flush draw, because we fold that.
Interesting.
So probably same response. He jams. I probably still have a pure fold. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's wild how much of a torch it is to call off here.
Mm-hmm.
Losing 68 big blinds out of what's he jamming for? 252 plus what's in the pot?
20
nine
200.
Okay, yeah. So like so there's
210.
470 in the pot,
yeah.
And we're losing almost 70 blinds. That's like a 20% pot share error, a little bit less. That's a big error to call off. So at least we got that one right. Yeah, I mean, according to the wizard, I played it fine, but I think I'm still in the muck.
You're not in the muck. You're just miserable right
anytime
now.
Anytime Berkey has to fold equities in the muck.
Yeah, you're just like the old man yelling at the clouds. And you're not feeling it right now, man.
Yeah, I'm not. The thing is like when I'm upswinging, I just check raise there.
Yeah.
Always. I'm just like always check raise. Mm-hmm. I would just, not only would I always check raise, but when I'm upswinging there, I would check raise and he would have like some random bullshit.
Yeah.
Right, either he would have like queen 10 of clubs somehow,
yeah,
and we just, get it all in and I win,
right,
twice,
or he just folds, and
or he just mucks fucking like tens,
yeah, what and then life. You just have like all this money pushed your way,
yeah,
move on with life,
yeah, just free money, but mm-hmm. instead I'm in the fucking muck.
Instead, you're there, you're folding equity, and you're just like, I have to figure out a different way to play this hand.
That's
because
right.
I can't be just folding the nut flush on the turn.
That's absolutely right.
He played the hand. GTO wizard approved.
Yeah.
Absolutely fine.
Reject me, daddy.
And he is miserable.
He's like, I want to be rejected.
If you guys would like to...
Bilinski Berkshire.
If you guys would like to submit your own in the muck, be sure to head to our Twitter at onlyfriends_pod. It's the pinned tweet there. We'd love to have you a part of our Discord channel. We have an entire forum dedicated to In the Muck, and we always are looking for more submissions.
Mm-hmm.
Would greatly appreciate it. Haven't mentioned this week's sponsor yet, but it's about time we get into that one. The Poker Go Tour is headed to Texas.
Texas.
We're headed to Texas.
Can't wait.
They're headed to Houston at Champions. Love the... I haven't been to the property yet, but I'm a big fan of everything that Champions is doing. Very good friends with Isaac, one of the main owners of Champions. They're really doing it right. They basically have partnered with PokerGo to bring a live stream to Houston, which I don't believe anybody else has right now, and they held back nothing. Their stream is top of the line. Their security is the best in the business as far as like unregulated markets go. I can't sing enough praises about all of the good work that Isaac and crew are putting in over at Champions. I wish I could attend. I'm actually doing something else. I have another engagement that we'll talk about next week, from the 1st to the 3rd. So unfortunately, I won't make it. But starting next week, April 24th through the 5th of May, they're going to be putting on a full PokerGo Tour series. It's going to open with a $2 million guaranteed main event with flights starting on Wednesday, April 24th. That's a $3,300 main event buy-in with an aggressive step satellite series that will guarantee seats to every single satellite. So not only is the main guaranteed at $2 million, but they're also doing, I believe, the Stairway to Heaven type of format that PokerGo runs here, with guaranteed seats to each one of those satellites. So this is kind of the exact opposite of what we usually see in satellites, where it's like a double rake scenario. Mm-hmm. Instead, they're slapping guarantees on everything. So if they don't get enough players for these satties, that's a big overlay. You guys are going to be getting free EV in that situation. Let's see. This is the first time that PokerGo Tour has had a buy-in less than 5K with a large guarantee. So be mindful. This is also for that point system that PokerGo puts on, where they do, I believe, a 500K winner-take-all free roll.
For
at the end
some
of the
reason,
year.
I want to say it's a million and 500K up top.
You might be right. It was
500K free roll to a winner-take-all. And
I think it was a million winner-take-all, and then it became a million guaranteed, 500K up top. Pays the final,
but they're
four?
Running into commerce this
or the
year,
final so. Set
base tort
unbelievable. So yeah, this will earn you points towards the PGT free roll. Mm-hmm. If you guys haven't been, this is a fully renovated hotel that got turned into a poker room as well, so plenty of places to stay on site. They have world-class restaurants, some of the best steak that you're going to find in a poker room for sure. I mean, it's Texas.
They know how to do steak
in Texas.
Can't
fuck that up. And I can speak personally to this. They have top-of-the-line security, so everything is above board, by the book. This is a place that I can't put a hard enough vouch on when it comes to places to play safely in Texas. So be sure to head to... you can check out Champions Club on any social, or you can click the link in the description below or in the chat. In the pinned tweet for more information and the schedule of the full events. You can find it all there. Big shout out to Champions Club. We'll be talking about them, giving you guys more information all week.
We also have a little promo video for Champions Club. Place looks so cool. I want to get out of here.
I mean, you can go.
I need to.
I think Melissa's gonna be there actually. She put in the group chat that her and Sam are going for this, so I think she's gonna get a little bit on-site footage.
Nice.
Maybe we'll be able to roll that through on the pod.
Nice.
I'm just realizing now we are gonna be incredibly short-staffed May 1st through the 3rd.
What's going on?
It's a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I will be out of town. We'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
It's another engagement. Sounds like Melissa will be in Texas. Landon will be in Vancouver.
Let me go look at my schedule. I might be somewhere too.
Squap and I.
Sounds like it's going to be UFC Pirates.
Yep, it sounds perfect. Pirates should be, I don't know.
Honestly, I'm here for Guapo Levada Pod.
I may be able to call in. I'll be East Coast time.
I'd much rather Guapo and Lamanna spit back and forth, Charlie.
I like how you just somehow exit out of this.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm probably going to be somewhere else.
Everybody else is gone from the first and third. I got to check my calendar. I'll let y'all know.
Doesn't know where he's going to be, but not here.
I'm like, I do shit. I don't know. We'll find out. Uh-huh. Got to check my shit.
Also, a big reminder, we have... another episode of On Second Thought up this week. This week I'm interviewing Nick Howard. However, the promo we have for you is for last week's interview that I did with Matt Hunt. Okay, so in hindsight, would you have done anything differently?
Certainly once you start to think about the benefit of keeping the stand-up game going, the jam becomes a lot more appealing. We probably have a hand that benefits by just calling, and we obviously don't really have very many folds on Future Streets.
I think in game, your mindset was just, this hand makes chips.
Yeah, I focused a little too much energy on the more specific parts of the later aspects of the stand-up game where you've got 2-3 players left, but that quickly started to cost me because I could see how much benefit there was to being involved in pots when somebody else is in the stand-up game and you're not.
Let's take a look at the sim. Once he c-bets for the 213% pot, we can now examine 9-7. It's a pure jam.
I couldn't remember the last time that I'd been in that sort of spot where it's like, okay, the pressure's on me to like solve this game myself, mm-hmm. and not have a sim that I can run to just explain it for.
All right, so be sure to head over to sulfurwide.io if you want to check out the full season of On Second Thought, as well as season 10 of Poker Out Loud. Again, we did a ton of standing game, so a lot of the On Second Thought reflection is going to be kind of divulging our real-time strategies when it comes to the standing game, how each of us approaches it, and how different those approaches may look. I think that the most beautiful thing about like trying to dissect how to solve in real time or like brain solve these situations is everything kind of gravitates towards each person's personality type, right? Like my immediate instinct is like, oh, we have to fight tooth and nail every single fucking pot we're in. Like there's just an overlay of dead money out there. We get to play the deck every single time that we're standing, and we get to play a lot of the deck every single time that we're sitting. Where like from Hunt's perspective as a tournament guy, who preservation is a big part of what his strategies are, he's just like, okay, I need to sit at some point. It doesn't really matter when I sit. And once I'm sitting, I actually get to play a little bit tighter because everybody's just spewing chips around and I don't want to be forced out of pots. And both make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Both from a strategic standpoint make a ton of sense. It's just a matter of like, how are you accumulating or sacrificing EV? And what do those strategies look like? So for me, this has been a really interesting project. I've enjoyed it so much so far. You'll get a lot out of the Nick Howard one that just released today. I can promise you that. It was the longest one by far. And as usual, Nick does not disappoint. We got into all types of crazy topics within the stand-up game and outside of it. So be sure to check that out.
How did you talk about the stand-up game if you didn't even know we were playing?
That was wild. Literally, the hand we used was a hand where he just rifled it off with sixes in like the most insane way possible. And then at the end of the hand goes, oh, we're playing? I had no idea.
He had to be trolling.
I thought so, but I asked him on the pod and he said, no, he swore he didn't know we were playing the standing game at that point. Fucking wild.
Love it.
That's going to do it for us today. Thank you guys so much as always for tuning in. Be sure to head over to our Twitter page. We have our Twitter Tuesday poll up right now, and it is our Twitter Tuesday prompt, I should say. It says, this Thursday we will be doing something special for our 500th episode. Ask the cast anything you want here, and we'll read the best ones live on Thursday.
Oh boy.
So be sure to submit your best queries, if you will, for
AMA,
the cast.
AMA, baby.
And we'll be sure to get a lot of those on air on Thursday. Not really sure what we're going to do format-wise yet, but we're going to kick around some ideas today and come up with something great for you all. Thank you guys for all the support. We appreciate you. As always, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. Let us know what you think of the show in the comments below. And we'll see you guys all noon Pacific tomorrow.
Peace. Peace.
Later, squad.
Yeah.